Well, good morning. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. We got a lot of ground to cover today, a big passage with lots of things, kind of two competing thoughts. And as I was preparing for this message, I was looking back through some old notes. And a couple of years ago, I actually preached is probably too strong of a word, but I spoke at baccalaureate at Friendswood High School, and I used part of this passage for that message, and I began with this quote from Mark Twain. Clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence on society. And I think that's true today. Naked people don't accomplish much in our world, and so what we wear matters, and what we wear on occasion matters a lot. And that's kind of the imagery that we have today in this passage, the imagery of kind of putting on the right kinds of things and taking off the wrong kinds of things. And so if you've gotten to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 5 through 17. There's lots of things in here. It's kind of a jam-packed passage. And so here we go. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And so verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This passage is a passage of contrasts. It contrasts our sinful habit and character, our sinful nature, with the heavenly character and nature once we come to faith in Christ. And so as Paul is writing to the church, he's writing to the church at Colossae, He's helping them see the way that they used to be and saying that way should be gone, and giving them direction on how they should be now. And so he begins with this kind of list of things that are terrible and bad and horrible. It's kind of our earthly nature. He talks about immorality, which the word in Greek is porneia, which is the word we get pornography from. It's any kind of sexual activity outside of the marriage relationship. Our modern word fornication is the word that this comes from. And so we think about the idea of anything outside of the marriage relationship between a husband and wife, any of that sexual immorality, put it away. Impurity, kind of a wider word, a broader word for any kind of sexual perversion, anything that is outside of God's plan. And then he says lust, this uncontrollable passion. He says passions. Evil desires, which is this illicit craving for things that are dark and wrong. He says, put that away. And greed and coveting. All of these things are idolatry. They seek satisfaction from earthly outcomings instead of heavenly reward. He says, put these to death because these are the reason the wrath of God is coming. And it's interesting to me as I look at that list, and then we're going to get to the bigger list in just a moment, but it's interesting to me as I think about people who walk away from the faith, who kind of disown in their words, or they deconstruct, or they walk away from Christ, often it's because of sexuality issues. I look at people who follow Christ wholeheartedly, and then they have an issue. Often it surrounds greed or sex. It's no coincidence that Paul is very plain here that these are the things that derail us quickly and easily. And so you need to put those away. You need to put them away. Because it's the reason that wrath is coming. It's what the world clings to. It's what they hold on to. It's what they pervert to take what is good and right and true, and they twist it. And so he says, put all these things away. In addition to all this other stuff that he mentions, which are perhaps ones that you and I be like, I wish he wouldn't have said that. Anger, put it to death. One commentator said it this way: anger is a chronic attitude of smoldering hatred. You've all seen a campfire. Hopefully you've seen a campfire. And you know when the fire kind of burns down and there's just a little bit, there's the wood is left, but it's just sort of there. There's still some yellowy orange, and it wouldn't take much to have that being a raging fire again. That's what I like, this constant, chronic frustration and anger. He goes, put that away. Put that away along with rage, which is the acute outburst. It's when we pour the lighter fluid on it, and it goes crazy. That's rage. So it's that acute outburst of anger and wrath where you live a life of rage. It's a fit of rage. Like you just, your life is modeled by being angry all the time, and you take that out on others. Just put those things to death: anger, rage, wrath, and malice. Malice is the vice that sits below anger and wrath. It's the root. As we've talked this series about rooting our lives in Christ, malice is the root of evil and desire just to harm others, just to wish the worst on others. That's the root of anger and wrath. It says, put that aside. And slander, it's the word that we get blasphemy from. It's railing or evil speaking. Politicians have the market cornered on this one at every level. Slander is just speaking rudely and obscenely about others, just degrading them as humans. That has no place for us. And then obscene talk, that's profanity or shameful speech. This seems to be non-existent in our culture today. There is no obscene and nice talk. It's just all talk. And so you, in the culture, in the world around us, you just say whatever you want to say. Four letters or more. Right? You just say it. And Paul is writing to the church and saying, hey, we are called to put off those things, to put them to death, to bury them. Not to dig them up again, not to be resurrected again. This was the old way of life. Put all that aside in addition to lying. Don't lie. If you and I follow the person who is called the way, the truth, and the life, then why would we have a life founded or at least connected to falsehood if we live for the truth, the one who is called truth? Even little white lies, right? We sometimes are guilty of this where we say a white lie to protect the person or surprise them on their 50th birthday, right? We do that and we think, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, maybe, but it's not the truth. He says, throw those clothes away, put off, put to death, put them aside, put them in the garbage can. All of that needs to go away. Put them to death. These things: immorality, impurity, lust, greed, slander, malice, anger, wrath, lying. Put all those aside. Why? Because you're in Christ now. It doesn't matter if you're Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, any barbarians in the room? Hey, the first service deadpanned me. Like, not a peep. Thank you for at least chuckling. Like, maybe. Maybe. Right? We're all in Christ, and He is in us. Because I'm now in Christ, those things have been put away. I've died to those things. Christ's death on the cross paid the penalty to redeem me from all of that old way of life. And so I'm going to put off those clothes, and I'm going to put on some new clothes, not a sinful earthly nature, but I'm going to put on a heavenly nature. My life is going to be clothed in the character of Christ. That's what He's saying that we need to do. We need to clothe ourselves in the character of Christ. First of all, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You're no longer immoral, sinful, angry, full of wrath, prideful, arrogant, slanderous. You're not those things. Now your name is different. You've been called by something different. Holy, beloved, chosen. That's who you are now. If you are in Christ, those are the characters that exemplify you, that you need to go by. I'm holy, beloved, chosen. And so I need to reflect the character of Jesus if that's who I am. So I'm going to put on the clothes of Jesus. Do you know that Nike is the largest clothing brand in the world? Closely followed by Louis Vuitton. That's an interesting social dynamic there. Nike and Louis Vuitton. That should tell us something about our culture. But we don't have to worry about the brand, because we put on the nature of Christ. So he says, what does it look like to put on the nature of Christ? It means to have compassion. That means I'm tender towards those who are helpless or those in need. I wonder, when you see someone in need, what is your first thought? When you see someone is helpless, how does your heart respond to them? We should respond with a heart of compassion, with tenderness towards them. To be people of kindness, that we're sweet to be around. It's great to be around us. If you find yourself where nobody wants to be around you, let me encourage you to check your kindness meter. Right? Kind, that our life is sweet towards others and towards God. We're humble. There's humility. Humility drives us. We're gentle and lowly. I've shared this quote before, but Oswald Chambers said, "Wouldn't it be great if no one cared who got the credit?" What if no one cared who got the credit? That's humility. That my life is going to position, I'm going to position my life to serve you and to humble myself before you rather than to puff myself up, right? That's the old way of life. Greed and coveting, I've got to have it all and be all. I've put that away. I've put that to death. And so I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be gentle, which gentleness is connected to kindness. But I think about gentleness when you're criticized. How do you respond when you're criticized, when you don't live up to a certain standard? Or when someone else doesn't live up to your standard? That's when we get to see a picture of gentleness. Do you harness the frustration and the disappointment and respond with a mild spirit? Do you receive criticism with a mild spirit, or are you defensive all the time, ready to attack again? God says to put off those things and put on gentleness and patience. Patience is a God-produced garment. It's not made in Indonesia. Now, I want to encourage you to not pray for patience. You can, but as Morgan Freeman said famously, if you pray for patience, he's going to give you opportunity to exercise patience. That's a truth. That's a truth. And so just trust that God is producing in you patience, and it's not a garment you can make or have someone else make for you. It's a God-produced garment that he places on you. He designs for you to draw you close to himself. Patience. I'm going to be compassionate and kind. I'm going to be humble and gentle. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to put those things on. And then I'm going to bear with you, and you will bear with me. We're going to bear with one another. There are times in your life when carrying your pack is too much. Carrying your load of life is too much. And someone, another follower of Christ, comes alongside and they help you. And they carry your pack for you. They carry their own pack and they carry your pack. That's this idea. That there are times in our lives when you and I need to carry each other's pack in addition to my pack. It's not that I'm handing mine off to somebody else, because at some point we run out of people. So somebody's got to have two. He's saying you need to be the one who carries two sometimes, to carry your stuff and your friend's stuff. We bear with one another. We walk alongside each other. And then we forgive one another. 70 times 7. I look back at the passage here, and he says there in verse 13, forgiving each other. If anyone has complaint against you, forgive each other. If the period was there, we'd be like, meh, most of the time. We'll manage. Yeah, I'll forgive this, this, and this, but not that. I'm going to remember that. Until the rest of that sentence is read. As Christ has forgiven you, as the Lord has forgiven you. Well, okay. I'm out. Okay, God, I guess I'll have to do it. Everything. And forgiveness, we're not good at forgetting, but forgiveness is acting as if it didn't happen. That's what forgiveness is. And so I'm going to treat you the same. That doesn't mean that I roll over and let you just pummel me. No, but I'm going to treat you as if it didn't happen. That's what forgiveness is. That's what God did for us. Just as the Lord forgave you, how many of these earthly and sinful habits did God forgive us of? All of them. Everything. Everything he put to death on the cross. Every one of our sinful points and habits and our nature, he nailed to the cross and he died for them. He forgave us of everything. And so, as the Lord has forgiven me, how should I forgive you? All of it. And act as if it didn't happen. And so he puts all these things together, this kind of list of things, that these character traits that you and I should model after our Savior Jesus Christ. Not because we can do it on our own. No, we're only able to accomplish these because we're in Christ. Only through the power of Jesus can we accomplish these. And then he finishes up with the greatest of all these. Above all, put on love. I'm not a big fashion person. I often ask, hey, does this match? Right, that's kind of who I am. I do like my shirt today, but mostly because of the colored buttons. But you think about it, when you put an outfit together, usually, particularly for you ladies, usually there's one piece. There's one part of that outfit that pulls the whole thing together. Might be a scarf or a belt or a jacket. Maybe it's the shoes. I don't know. I'm guessing. But there's something that ties it all together, and you're like, yeah, that's it. That's what love is. That's what love is. Love pulls all of those pieces together and holds them together in harmony and grace, and helps us to look like the person of Jesus Christ. It makes the outfit perfect. It unifies. Because when love is in full effect, it brings peace. Because it's you and I saying that I'm going to sacrifice to bring honor to you. That's what love does. So it says, on all these things, love binds them together. Love unifies all these things in perfect harmony. And when you and I put on the character of Christ, some interesting things happen to us practically. And that's what he gets here at the end of the passage. Some interesting things happen to us practically. The first is the peace of Christ begins to rule over us. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which you were indeed called. We were called to be peace, people of peace. And so when you and I live in the character of Christ, then the peace of Christ rules over us. That's just a natural outworking of you and I living in the power of Jesus Christ, to be a person of peace where there's calm. There's steadiness, that you and I aren't up and down and all around emotionally when things are good, bad, or ugly. That we're a steadying presence, that we understand the power of eternity, that we understand the grace that God has given us. And as he writes this, as Paul writes this to the church, remember, he's not just speaking to one person particularly. Like, he has letters that he's written to Timothy later in the New Testament. This is written to the whole church. So this isn't just about your peace as an individual. This is about the peace that rules over the entire church, the local body of believers. That when you and I collectively take on the character of Christ, then guess what happens? The peace of Christ rules over us, all of us. And the world gets to see that. Unfortunately, the world doesn't see that picture enough from the church. We need to let the peace of Christ rule over us. And then let the word of Christ dwell in us. The word of Christ. I don't know if you've ever been to the circus when we still had circuses that wasn't in a stadium. Was actually in a big top circus. Like, you've been to a big event that had a giant tent. Well, what he's talking about here when he says, let the peace of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What he's helping them to see is that the word of Christ should be the anchor. And in this illustration, it's the tent pole, right? If you've ever seen in the movies or wherever, the giant tent or the big top circus, there's a middle pole. It's the anchor to the whole thing. It's what holds it all together. That's what he's saying. Let the word of Christ be the tent pole, the anchor, the thing that holds you tight and makes everything else go in its place. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the thing that will help you keep the old clothes off, the junk and the garbage of life. That just like Jesus, when Satan tempted him with the pleasures of the world, what did he do? He fought it with the word of God. And so if you and I want to keep the old life dead, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That use the word as the truth by which all things are measured. My prayer is that the word of Christ would be second nature for you. And when that happens, do you know what we do? You probably don't do this, and we've talked about this passage before, but when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, what happens? You start teaching and admonishing. Admonishing is a word that means to challenge, to encourage. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you start singing to other people. Do you ever do that? Not named Joey? No, you probably don't. I had somebody after the first service say, Pastor, I sing all the time. Well, he's a retired minister. Of course you do. But you don't want me singing to you. You want Matt, Joey, Becca, Christy, others, Lauren. You want them, not me. But the word of God becomes such second nature to you that when you encounter a situation, when you're engaged in a conversation with a friend, a coworker, a family member, your child, a parent, someone in your neighborhood, that the word of God, if it's dwelling in you richly, then in that moment, you know the wise and right thing to say in the right way. That's the beauty of putting on the character of Christ and letting the Word of God dwell in you. That means to live, take up residence in your life. And so you can speak truth. You can speak encouragement, that some of those psalms are great encouragement, right? And some of the psalms are like, hey, life is terrible. God, where are you? Like, you can speak to both of those circumstances in life. Hymns give us kind of even as we think about our definition of hymn, but hymn in the New Testament would be those songs of old that talk about the theology of God, that point us to the person of God. And those spiritual songs that help us understand the presence of God in our lives. That's what happens when you and I let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, that we are able to answer others, to encourage, to teach, admonish them in those moments. And then finally, when you and I put on the character of Christ, whatever we do, we honor Christ. And whatever you do, verse 17 says, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, and whatever you say, you do to honor Christ. Everything in life, the small things and the big things. Sometimes we focus on the big things, but I tell folks all the time, it's the details that make or break us in life. The details of life make or break us. And if you and I will pay attention to honoring Christ in the little things we say, pay attention to Christ in the little things that we do, you and I will have a testimony to others. And slowly, people begin to see there's something different about him, something different about her. And so whatever you do, whatever you say, may it honor Christ. And as you do that, be thankful to God. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. It's November, and we only celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. We should do it every day, because I could eat turkey and dressing every day. This is controversial, but cranberries also. But do we have this attitude of thanksgiving as no matter what we're doing, whether we love it or we don't love it, are we honoring Christ in all that we do? Honoring Christ in all that we do. Do we think about those small things, chores around the house, students, your homework, adults, some menial task at the office, schlepping your kids around to every practice under the sun, right? Paying bills, connecting with your neighbors, making big life decisions, having a conversation with a stranger. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do to honor Christ. Do we think about that? Whatever I do, that's a tall task, but I believe it's possible when we put on the character of Christ. And so if you're here today and you have put your faith and your trust in Christ, let me challenge you to put the old life away, bury it, put it to death, and put on the character of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me?